First Timothy chapter 3, onward Christian soldiers. By the way, let me just say, as we have been studying on the morning services, remember I presented to you the word study, and the idea of being a workman is not just physical. It's intellectual, right? So you understand that being a soldier is not just physical. It's also intellectual. Because you know what? The Bible says that this warfare that we're fighting, yes, there's a physical warfare, but there's also a spiritual and mental warfare. And so we're fighting on both fronts. Amen? All right. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, 1 Timothy and chapter 3. And I'm just going to read these last few verses here, beginning in verse 14, because we've read the rest of it, the rest of the chapter. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning in verse 14, I'll read out loud. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So what an appropriate jump. Like I said, the song Onward Christian Soldiers. Did you hear that? Join our happy throng. You read about that, right? Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Just so many wonderful phrases and words in that hymn. And by the way, that's how the local church ought to be. It ought to be that anthem-singing, anthem-bearing, vibrant, rejoicing, praising, surging forward type thing. Not something reeling and on their heels and calling for retreat and defeated and depressed and discouraged. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be the other way around. And by the way, it can and should be that way. As we continue to look at these things, we went through in great detail. And by the way, there is so much more you could study about each one of these doctrines. I mean, truth be told, we could have an entire course on each one of them. By the way, some Bible colleges do that, which is just fine. And that's very extensive. And let me encourage you to do that on your own. There are a lot of great avenues to take Bible classes and go through college level type courses to learn about things. And I think we all should do that. So we talked about all these things. We kind of wrapped up things last week talking about giving and missions and those types of things. We left you with an idea that this doctrinal statement does not exhaust the extent of our faith. You understand there's a lot more than just, these, 20-some doctrines that are listed in our statement of faith. There's more than that. Everybody understands. But these are the foundational type things, the things that are kind of put forth the structure of the belief system of our local church. But the Bible itself is the sole and final source of all that we believe. We do believe, however, that the foregoing statement of faith accurately represents the teachings of the Bible and therefore is binding upon our members. And that's where we kind of want to get an idea that as we read to you, I should say we, me, myself and I try to be as much like God as possible, right? God's three in one, I'm three in one, so we're we, Let us make man in our own. And so I say, let us preach to you. Okay, so it's okay. I'm really that crazy. Okay, now, as I read to you before, what we believe and what we say as far as our covenant, that's what I want, the covenant that we make with a local church when we become a member is we engage. We engage. We engage. Over and over again, it says, not only do I believe this, I'm going to do this. And that's what church membership, and as we study tonight, I want you to see some things. You have to understand that, okay, there are qualifications to becoming a member of a local church. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And as we look at this fledgling church, this is not where the church begins. The church has already begun before this. But this is where the church just kind of takes off, if you will. Kind of launches out on its own in so many ways because Jesus Christ has now ascended, right? And if you look at the end of Acts chapter 2, Peter, they're given, Jesus has left, which has allowed him to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. They're filled with the Spirit of God. They preach. They do what they're told. They were told to wait for the power. They waited for the power. They take that power and they go out and use it for what it's supposed to be used for. Telling other people about Jesus Christ and seeing the church to grow. They actually go out and do these things. It says that they were in one accord and in one place. Then look at verse 41. It says that then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Okay, so you understand that in order to become a member of a local church, what you need to do is to be saved. Right? That's the best thing. You know why that's best? Because we're not supposed to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Right? How can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay? So we've got to be agreed upon these things, and this is the first example of these guys being, this church rather, growing, adding members, right? Now, as Jesus went through, people believed, and they also did what? They got baptized, okay? So this example is in the Gospels. You can see it happening over and over again. And you see this example that Christ passes on to the church, and they add 3,000 people in one day. Hallelujah. I'd like to see that again, wouldn't you? Yeah, I'd like to see it here. That'd be fantastic. Okay? And so, what we want to see is the Bible example. So, we believe that someone can join a church by their profession of faith, that they're saved, and that they have been baptized in a church of like faith. Once again, if I'm a Baptist and you're a Methodist, or if you're a Presbyterian, or you're an Episcopalian, or if you're a Catholic, or whatever you might be, we're not going to be in agreement because our doctrines are different. How we see and view the Word of God is different. And so you know what? If you were baptized in a different type of church, we as Baptists are not going to accept your baptism. Because I'm going to say you're not biblical. And you know what? You're probably going to say I'm not biblical. So guess what? We don't agree. So why and how could you become a member of something you don't agree with? That doesn't make sense, does it? So that's why this goes hand in hand. The thing of salvation and this thing of baptism. You say, oh, you Baptists, you're just so narrow-minded. You got it. Yeah, we are. And the narrow that I am minded is the Word of God. That's just the bottom line. So if it doesn't go by what this says, then I'm not for it. And I'm not agreed upon with it. So this is the idea that we have written in our articles of faith in our church guidelines, etc. So let me just read this to you about this is section 1 of article 3, talking, the subtitle is membership. So we're studying what it means to be a member of a local church. Check this paragraph out. Upon the majority vote of the members present at any church meeting, membership shall be extended to all who have had and whose lives evidence a genuine experience of regeneration through faith and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now listen to this. Who renounce sin. Who endeavor, oh boy. Bless God, we just studied that word this morning. To live in a consecrated life, holy unto the Lord, who fully subscribe to the statement of faith contained herein, and who enter into the church covenant. Remember that church covenant? We engage, we engage, we engage, we engage, we engage. Furthermore, we engage. And upon compliance with any one of the following conditions. So the conditions are these: baptism at our church as a true believer in Jesus Christ as Savior, by letter of transfer from another Bible-believing Baptist church of like faith and practice, or of written statement of good standing from a prior church if the applicant has been baptized by immersion subsequent to a profession of faith, by testimony of faith having been baptized by immersion in a Baptist church of like faith, and, if you will, by restoration, either maybe having been removed from membership and upon a majority vote of the congregation after confession is made and publicly before the church membership of the sin or sins involved, and satisfactorily evidencing repentance to the pastor or deacons, trustees, and that's, those are the ways to be added to the role or membership of a local church. You see, it's important for us to show in our lives that we want to be here, that we want to be a member, that we want to be active in the part of a local church. Let me just ask you a question. If your idea of church membership is not to be active and not to serve God and not to follow after God, then why are you here? Or if you will, what's the purpose of coming? Because listen, if it's just to make you feel good, I can give you all kinds of different ways you can go somewhere and feel good. You know, if you will, there are quote unquote a lot more fun things to do. A church is not a social club. It's not a place to come and, oh, hey, we're going to come and just have fun all the time. I like sports and I know it's Super Bowl night and I understand that. But you know what? I cringe at churches just kind of marrying the Super Bowl and church together and let's have Churcher Bowl, you know, or something like that. I don't know. But they, you know, they say they're having church. They may sing a few songs and then they'll put the Super Bowl up on the big screen, you know, and maybe at halftime, instead of the halftime show, the preacher will get up and share the word, you know, or something like that. I'm like, well, what are we doing here? Are we having church? Or are we having the Super Bowl? You know, is this entertainment class? Or is this, you know, an entertainment studio? Or is this the house of God? You know, Jesus kind of got upset about people not using the house of God for what it was supposed to be used for. He went in and kicked over tables and made a scourge and drove people out. I think he was righteously indignant about it. And we ought to be. We ought to be protective of it. But I hope you understand, did you see what it says here? That the membership is accepted, is extended to those whose lives evidence a genuine experience. Church membership should be genuine. It shouldn't be fake. It shouldn't be fraudulent. It should be genuine. And by the way, our lives as believers should show that we're born again. Now, in no way, shape, or form does being a church member mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're going to be without fault. It doesn't mean that you're not going to stumble, right? It doesn't mean that you're not going to backslide. None of those things is what this means. But what it means is, hey, I'm a real born-again believer, and I really want to be here, and I really believe what y'all believe. Now, I may not know everything. I may need to grow. I may need to stub my toe a few times. I may need to be set straight on a few things. Listen, that all can happen. That's called growth, folks. That's called development. That's called maturing in the faith. This statement does not mean that you're already mature, you're already there, and we don't have to work on you at all. That's not what it means. It just means that you want to be here. That you want this kind of life, that you want this kind of church, that you want the Word of God to take effect in your heart and in your mind and in all of your being. So as we move forward from this point, we act and live as a member of this local body of believers. And I'm afraid that in some cases, people see being a member of a local church as a passive thing. It is not a passive thing. Are you still there in Acts? I want you to see what they did when these people became part of this local church. Realize here, the majority of these people were lost Jews, right? If not all of them, the majority of them. Now, look what happens as soon as they get saved. What do they immediately decide to do? This is something strange. This is something foreign. This is not in the writings and the tablets and all these things. They get baptized. 3,000 people getting baptized. Without question, folks. They didn't say, why do we have to do this? Realize that this thing of baptism just came up. This is something new. Remember John the Baptist, the voice of the one crying in the... Hey, okay, this is just recent. And they don't even question it. They just jump right in. They get baptized. It says here that following, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So they had a hunger, they had a desire for consuming the truth of the Word of God. They continued steadfastly. They said, hey, this is something new. We're going to assimilate this stuff. We're going to digest it. And we're going to study it. We're going to learn it. We're going to incorporate it into our lives. This was changing them. Did you notice the next thing he says here? And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. There was a unity here that they had never experienced before. I mean, I know they were Israelites, they were the people of God, but it was disjointed. It was factioned, right? You had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, it was just kind of nonchalant. But now they're sold out, they're bought in to something, and it's brand new to them. And they're eating it up. They sold their possessions, and look at verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with drudgery, because they were being forced into slavery by these rules and regulations, and we have to do this, right? Not at all. Not at all. They were happy about it. They said that they were single with gladness and singleness of heart. Didn't Jesus talk about that, right? That our eye needed to be single. That we need to love one master. We can't serve two. And they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Wow, what an amazing thing. Why can't it be like that in our local church? It can. It can. If we, the members, will have that kind of attitude, that kind of appetite, that kind of focus, that kind of idea as a member of the local church, that my membership is valuable. My word is my bond, that I'm a believer in Christ, and I'm going to follow the Bible. I'm going to follow the preacher as long as he's preaching Christ and as long as he's following Christ. And I'm going to serve in my local church. I'm going to be active. I'm going to be happy about it. Woo! You know, a church that has that kind of attitude is going to be a church that's going like this. Constantly. You know what happens when a church starts to plateau or even decline? When that's not the case. People forget what it means to be a member. Hey, listen, I'm one that my life is going to show. It's going to give evidence that I've been regenerated through the Holy Spirit of God. Again, not that I have to be perfect,
But there should be some sign in life, or in your life of life. Here, I'm going to be one that renounces sin. I'm going to be one that endeavors to live a consecrated life. That I'm going to fully subscribe to the statement of faith and the word of God and the doctrines. I'm going to enter into the covenant. I'm going to engage. And I'm going to comply with the things that the word of God speaks of that I should be as a Christian. Hey, listen. We're going to have trouble in our life if we're a member of something and we're going to buck the system, if you will. You're going to have a hard road and you're going to have a hard time. And guess what? It's going to be miserable. Not only are you going to be miserable, but the organization's going to be miserable. Nobody's going to have a good time. But when everybody's in one accord and in one place, look what happens. They're eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They're praising God. They have favor with the people, and more people are coming in. Because it's fantastic. And it's wonderful. And that's what God wants it to be. That's what being a member is. Upon becoming a member, in addition to the covenant contained in Article 2, Section 3, which we read about engage, it says that that each one further covenants to love and honor and esteem the pastor. By the way, I appreciate all of that. Okay? Now, it doesn't say you have to like me. All right? Nobody in here has to like me. I do not require anyone to like me. I do ask, though, however, that you do pray for me, right? You do have a respect for the position. You may not respect me, but have a respect for the position of the pastor. Okay, that's in your benefit, all right? And love me. Please love me, because I'm going to love you, even if I don't like you, okay? And it's okay. We already went over this. We don't have to like everybody, but we do need to love everybody, okay? But listen. I'm going to appreciate that, and it's good for you to love me, and it's good for you to pray for me, because not only does that help me, it helps you. That's a biblical principle. You know, when we forgive people for wrongdoing, by the way, I may do something wrong to you. I may offend you. I may hurt your feelings. I may disappoint you. I may break a promise. I'm human. I can do those things. But you know what? It's good for you to forgive me, because it's good for you to forgive. You know, I'm going to be able to go on with life if you don't forgive me or if you do forgive me. But sometimes it stops other people from moving on in life if they won't forgive, because the root of bitterness gets in there and it just destroys their life. We're supposed to forgive one another. We're supposed to live in that kind of thing because it's good for us. So it says we're supposed to honor, esteem the pastor, pray for him. By the way, recognize his authority in the spiritual affairs of the church. Why? Because it's not my authority, it's the authority of the Bible. If I ever don't relate to you that what I'm saying and what I'm doing is because what the Bible says, then don't follow me. But follow me as I follow Christ, like Paul said, right? And that's what we're... And follow me as I'm going to try to tell you biblical principles. I'm going to try to tell you the right things to do, not based on my opinion, but what the Bible says. Then follow that. And if you will, respect that, right, in spite of me. But he says here that this is the duty of a member to recognize the spiritual authority and the spiritual affairs of the church, to cherish a brotherly love for all members of the church. We're supposed to pass that on to each other and love one another. By the way, there are so many passages of scripture that we could go through about this, right? John writes about this. Peter writes about this. Paul writes about this. You just look through the New Testament. You see this. By the way, in the example here in the book of Acts, we see that, don't you? They loved one another. They shared things with one another. They supported one another. By the way, let me just say here, our church is pretty good at that. I'm very, in a good way, I'm very proud of our church. I think each one of you do a great job at this. And I want to just say too, this study on this thing of church membership, It's not, and we're not doing it because I don't think you know. Maybe we just need a refresher course. And maybe some people don't know. But what we need to do is we need to cherish each other. And we need to have a love for each one of the members of the church to support each other in prayer. By the way, grab a prayer list. Pray for one another. It says here that we're supposed to support each other in prayer. We're supposed to support the church through the tithes and offerings and with other financial support as the Lord enables. Listen, let me just say something about this. That we as a church, we should try to take care of our own. You know that before Social Security and before all these government programs, you know who took care of the church members? The church members. That's a great thing. Hey, you see here, these people were on a sojourning from all over the world, from all over the parts of the world. They were there in Jerusalem, and they get saved. They've got no place to live. They've got no income. They've got no job. Their jobs are in other countries. Their homes are in other countries. Maybe their bank account's in another country. So what happens? They just die? They're forced to leave and go back home? No, the church took care of them. They sold their possessions. They took care of one another. They met in houses and they had meals together, and the church took care of its own. That's a wonderful thing. You all know this about me. I'll do everything I can to help take care of you. And if I can't, I can't. Right now I can take care of you up to $11. Okay, so whatever that'll get us. Here, you need it, you can have it. Why not? It's just money, right? It comes and goes. The Lord provides, right? So you understand, that's ought to be our attitude as a church member. It says here that not only that, but I'm also going to be in accordance to the biblical commands to support through a lifestyle walk affirmation of the beliefs and practices of the church. In other words, I'm going to live what I'm supposed to live. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to be double-sided, right? I'm not going to be one way at church and another way at home. I'm just going to be a Christian all the time. I'm going to be a church member all the time. What a novel idea, right? But that's what a church member is supposed to. By the way, in our bylaws, this is a duty of a member of this local church. So what does a good soldier do? He does his duty. He does what he's supposed to do because he's a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Privileges of membership is the next section. It says this congregation functions not as a pure democracy, but as a body under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and the direction of the pastor as the under shepherd with the counsel of the board of deacons. Membership in this church does not afford those individuals with any property, contract, or civil rights based on principles of democratic government. Determinations of the eternal affairs of this church are ecclesiastical matters and shall be determined exclusively by the church's own rules. I know this sounds a little legal jargon here. But exclusively by the church's own rules and procedures. The pastor shall oversee and shall conduct all aspects of the church. The board of deacons shall give counsel and assistance to the pastor as requested by him. The membership contains limited areas of exercising a vote. Memberships may not vote to initiate any church action, but rather the vote of a member is to confirm or ratify the direction of the church as determined by the pastor. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, that means we're an autonomous body of believers, right? We're self-governing. All right, so basically in any such ways or purposes, the pastor leads or directs in an idea or a direction or something like that and brings it before the church and says, church, here's all the parameters, here's all the things that we've studied about. By the way, this pastor likes to talk to people before he does those things. And guess who I like to ask? Our trustees, other individuals that I hold in high esteem, if you will. Because I want to get the sense before I bring something before the church. For instance, let's say like a missionary, right? We're gonna do our diligence to make sure they're the right kind of missionary. They're you know they believe the things that we believe. They can be equally aligned with us, etc. And then I talk to it, talk to, you know, other people about it. And then we say, okay, church, here's a missionary. You've seen their presentation. You've heard them preach, etc. They're approved. They're the kind of people that we want to support. Who makes a motion to support? You know, that's the kind of thing that we do. And that's how, if you will, we function. And that's one of the privileges. You do have a privilege to vote. And by the way, don't ever feel like you can't say, no, I don't agree with that. Because you can. You really can if you want. If you don't want to send people around the world to preach the gospel and to do the work, then vote no. That's all right. If that's how you really feel. Okay? So, that's a privilege of membership. So we have a value to membership. And I hope you're understanding that in this idea, in this study, that membership is one of those things that needs to be acted upon. It needs to be lived out in our daily lives. What most people miss is they miss the point that it's not just about church, it's about my daily life. In other words, tomorrow is Monday. And tomorrow I should live and talk and act and be a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church. At home. Because let me ask you a question. So when I go home, so I don't believe that the Bible is the ultimate authority in my life in faith and practice. That only applies here, right? And then when I go to work, okay, fine. I'll submit to it at home. But when I go to work, you know, when I'm at work, these guidelines and these principles, I just don't believe them right now. I'm going to believe what the world says, and I'm going to set my beliefs aside, and I'm going to conform to the world. Why is that okay? I mean, last I checked, I joined a church because of my faith in Jesus Christ and my adherence to the Word of God. I am part of the body of Christ. See, that's what I want us to grab hold of today. That's really the idea of studying church membership, is what does that mean for every single day I live? Not just Sunday morning, not just Sunday night, not just Wednesday night, not just Saturday out soul winning, but every moment that I breathe. I'm a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church. And that says something. That means something. Let me ask you a question. If you saw a guy in a uniform and had the name tag here, you know, on the patch of his uniform, right? And it said on the other patch, it had the name of the company. It said Waste Management. Okay, what would you think of that guy? He works in? Yeah, doing what? He's a trash man. I love trash guys. Those are great guys, right? They take care of trash, right? So the trash man, he's walking around, and he is taking the trash cans and flipping them upside down and dumping all the trash on the ground and putting the trash can back. And you look at the trash man and you're like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm not on the clock right now. No, you're supposed to be waste management. You're supposed to be taking care of the trash. Not spreading the trash. Oh, but I'm not on the clock. I'm not at work right now. Oh, but you have the uniform on, and it says here, waste management, but you're not managing the trash. And I know that's a silly illustration, because I'm silly. You know that. Okay? So what would you expect other than a silly illustration? But listen, you look like a Christian. You say you're a member of the, oh, but I'm not at church. So I'm going to live how I want. I'm going to talk how I want. I'm going to do what I want. Even if it's spreading the trash all over the ground instead of picking it all up. Let me just ask you, does that make any sense at all? I don't think it makes any sense at all. Because guess what? If I've, If you will, back to my silly illustration, if I've made a vow to be a part of waste management, what should I do all the time? I should manage waste all the time. Because that's in my best interest. It's what I believe. It's what I live for. Because if you're going to be a trash man, be the best trash man you could be. Amen? For the glory of God. But listen, if I'm a Christian, why do I take a vacation? Or why do I take, I'm not on the clock. I'm not at church. So I can live how I want. I can act how I want. I can talk how I want. I can stuff into my brain whatever I want. But not when I'm at church, but when I'm at home. Or, you know what? At home and at church, I got it down. But when I go to work, why are there departments of our dedication to our Savior? I don't think there should be. I think that a local church and its members should just be church members. By the way, I think this too. I think that when we're engaged, we should stay engaged. Was it? I think. Yeah, Brother Losey. He likes to send me jokes. I like jokes. There's this blonde when she bought a car. And everything was great. And she got home and she started having problems with the car. During the day, it was just fine. But at night, the car wouldn't go anywhere. It wouldn't do anything. And so she called the dealership. It's a very expensive car. She gets the technician to come out there and he checks the car out. The car is in perfect working order. He says, ma'am, would you just please show me here what problem you're having with your car? It seems to be fine. She goes, well, every time when it's daytime, I put it in D for daytime. And when it's nighttime, I put it in N for nighttime. Makes sense, right? I think some Christians, you know, they think that D is daytime and N is nighttime. Because we engaged when we're here at church and when we're in church functions, but we throw it in neutral when we're not here. Let's just stay engaged. Let's just stay in drive all the time. Let's keep going forward for Christ. Folks, we don't have much time. Life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanisheth away. The people here in the book of Acts, we've studied through the book of Acts in Sunday school, so I'm not going to go over this all again. But even in these few verses, these 7-8 verses here, do you see that they're engaged? And by the way, this does continue, and the church continues to grow. And as soon as the timing is right, God blows that thing up, scatters them like fiery embers across the world to create this wildfire of the gospel going forward for Christ. And listen, that's God's design. He can do what he wants, but we gotta keep that fire burning. And we gotta stay engaged. In our articles of faith here, it talks about a member being that kind of person. And this phrase of just supporting the church through a lifestyle walk, affirming the beliefs and practices of the local church. That means you're the way you live just screams out, I am a Christian. I am a believer in Christ. And guess what? It should scream it out at 3 a.m. It should scream it out at 3 p.m. It should scream it out on Monday, on Wednesday, on Sunday, on every day. Because there isn't a time when we're not saved. You ever think about that? Once you're born again, there's never a time that you're not saved. So why would you take a day off from being a Christian? Why would you take a day off from what you say you believe? Why would you take a department off? Oh, my work time. Nope, God, you can't have that time. Or my home time, that's my time. Well, when I'm at church, I'll follow along. I'll conform here. But when I go home, that's my space. God, you can't have that. Or I'll do the church in the home. But when I go to work, that no, God, the work gets that part, not you. There's never a time that we're not saved once we're born again, folks. So we should be engaged all the time. It talks about section 4 is not one that we generally go over very often. But it's the discipline of a church member. I don't want anybody to throw anything at me. Okay? Nobody ever likes to talk about discipline. I teach something in my college class. We talked about classroom leadership last semester. And part of the classroom leadership discussion is talking about classroom discipline. You want to know what discipline is? Discipline is simply another word for control. That's what discipline is. Okay? It's control. And discipline is not what you do to someone. It's what you do for someone. See, our world has that backwards. They've got it out of order. They just see the punishment part, you know? They just see the chastisement. But do you know that chastisement has a purpose? Or it should, anyways. What's the purpose? It's to do something for that wayward believer. Does God just get kicks and giggles out of disciplining us and chastening us? No. He doesn't do it for fun, folks. He does it because he's our loving God who has given everything for us. And he wants us to get back in line. He wants us to be controlled by him and by his spirit. By the way, what's the best way to live? In the boundaries that God has designed. The best way to live is to be led by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. That's the best way to live. And so discipline is one of those things that, if you will, you're a member. By the way, if you came here, you wanted to be a member. Nobody held a gun to your head and nobody made you come be a member. At least I hope not. Okay, I didn't. So now that you're a part of something, There's a way to behave yourself in the house of God. We read that in our text, isn't there? And guess what? Not very long after these things happen and the church is growing like wildfire, there's some members that step out of line. Over there in Acts chapter 5, old Ananias and Sapphira. By the way, in that particular case, was it the church that enacted the discipline? No. God did. And let me just say something to you here. We're given in our scriptures an example that discipline is just something that's important, because if I'm going to say I'm going to live a certain way, I'm going to renounce sin, I'm going to endeavor to live a consecrated life, you know what? There needs to be some accountability to that. And we all need to be accountable. It says, there shall be a discipline committee consisting of the pastor and the board of deacons. These men shall have the sole authority in determining the heretical deviations from the statement of faith and violations of the church covenant. The pastor or deacon is the subject of the disciplinary matter. He shall not sit as a member of the council, but shall be entitled to the same steps as other church members and subject to the same discipline. By the way, what is the whole point of discipline? To make fun of, humiliate, destroy, and kick out, right? How many of you have ever heard a preacher say, we need one of them backdoor revivals, bless God? You know, I kind of hate that. Because it's hard enough getting him in the front door. Why we got to throw him out the back door? Let's just try to keep him in here. That's what we want to do. It says here that reconciliation is the goal. Restoration is the goal of any disciplinary procedure. We say something because we want you to be restored. By the way, nobody should have a problem with that. You know what? I'm okay with being told, Pastor, I don't know if you're right about that. I'm not afraid of that. You know that I'm not right about everything. Hey, by the way, do you know that I make mistakes too? And you know what? You know what's best? The Bible says what's best is one can go to another and reconcile. That's what's best. And you know what? This church member over here doesn't really need to know about it. Because it's a matter between us. And we should be able to get right about it. But you know what? If you say, hey, I think you should get right about this, and I say, no, I'm not going to, then we bring it to some more people. And not just any people. There's a way to go about it, right? You bring it to the pastor, you bring it to the deacons, you bring it to the people that, and they go to that person. By the way, it's a biblical example. And if they say, you know what? No, I'm not going to, then we bring it to the church. And by the way, if they won't listen to the individual, they won't listen to the pastor and deacons, and they won't listen to the church, then guess what they lose? Their ability to be a member of this body of believers, because how can two walk together except they be agreed? And it's not the church kicking them out. In essence, they're kicking themselves out. Because they no longer believe what we believe. They have a different belief. And, okay. But it's not for lack of trying. We don't want people to go. We should have a love for each and every person that comes into this body of believers. And by the way, how many of you like to see a loved one go? You don't. You want them to stay. You want them to grow and develop, etc. All these things, these are written here in our articles of membership here in our bylaws. And then it says here this too. I skipped a lot of this because it's I'm not going to read everything out to you as far as every exact word, but. There's a step A, a step B, a step C. I just, you know, the individual, the council, and then the church, etc. It says that the matter is still unresolved after the steps outlined in B, C, and D have been taken. Such members who refuse to repent and to be restored are removed from the membership of the church. And by the way, this is not just say the pastor says, okay, we're done. No, it's by vote of the membership present. At a meeting, a call for the purpose of considering this disciplinary action. Now, let me just say this to you. If someone is removed from church membership, there's still an opportunity for restoration. Doesn't that just show the heart of the matter? What do we really want? We really want restoration. Because, by the way, I've told you this before, God wants restoration. And so that is how these things happen. So, understand, there's a section about transfer of membership. There's a way to go about moving from one church to the other. By the way, you shouldn't just be hopping around to different churches. That's not really the intent of church membership. Well, you know, I'm going to taste this church for a little while, and I'm going to go be a part of this church for a little while, and I'm going to go... And that's not necessarily what God wants people to do. He wants them to be a part of that body of believer. By the way, how would you feel if your finger just decided to go and join somebody else's body? Well, I'm going to go, you know, be a finger over here at this person's body. No thanks. Termination of membership. The membership is terminated, you know, for the things of discipline. Obviously, if you die, I'm sorry, your membership is terminated. That's okay, right? Yeah, because you'll be up in heaven, so it won't matter. Now, a member may resign from the church. Sometimes that's in good standing. Sometimes it's maybe not. But that's a way that a person can not be a member of the local church. By the way, just not coming doesn't make you not a member. Right? I mean, if you go buy a membership at LA Fitness or whatever, right? And you have a 1-year membership that you pay for, right? But if you don't go, you don't just not become a member. You're still a member. You still have the card. You still paid for it, right? So, same thing is true. So you might as well come and make good use of your membership. Amen. So these things are important and to study about membership. Now, I'm gonna stop there for tonight, and I want to reemphasize something. I know it may seem to you like these things are I don't know, maybe a little bit harsh sometimes, and maybe in the way I present them, but I'm trying to give you the passion behind what it means to be a church member. And one of the reasons why we're doing this study is because we want people to grow. And serving in a local church and being engaged in a local church and being a part of a local church is an important part of who and what we are. You know, the church just can't run because the pastor does everything. It's not how a church is supposed to be. It is an army of volunteer servants that gets the job done. And those servants need to be organized. So there has to be some kind of leader. I just get to be that de facto leader because you guys wanted me to. So we need to do our part, and we need to represent the Lord in such a fashion that's pleasing to Him. And we're going to continue to go through some of these, more of these things as we talk about this. But I want you to think about this church in the book of Acts and just how they felt about being a part of a local body of believers there in Jerusalem and how that emanated throughout everyday life to them. They did it daily from house to house. And that's how we need to be as members of Lighthouse Baptist Church.